The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast. I'm Clay Link here with RotoWire.com's lead prospect analyst, James Anderson. James, we are here on Alek Manoah Day. It's great to be chatting with you. Also going to be taking some time on the show to preview and look ahead to your next set of dynasty ranks, kind of just where the major leaguers are slotting in at the moment. And kind of pick those apart. And yeah, they are in rough draft form right now, but kind of preview those and talk through some things. How are you today, man?
I'm good. It is Alek Manoah Day. What do you want him to do tonight? Because obviously we have to look at this in terms of a potential Fabapalooza coming on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like, do we want him to just pitch well enough to be assured of a spot in the rotation, but not so well that it's going to require like a $400 bid to add him?
I want him to tear it up, James. Okay. I really do.
That's cool.
Because that's cool, I did get him active in one league. I didn't think I was going to be able to.
You should have just started him there.
I know. You kind of tried to talk me into it last weekend on the XM show. And I just didn't have the stones. But I did end up swapping him into the Tout Wars lineup against Ariel Cohen, who will be joining us on this Friday's XM show, by the way. I'm looking forward to that. Tough competitor, and it's going to be a tough week for me. But I did slot him in there because I realized, and this is, you know, hey, I'm kind of manipulating the rules a little bit. But I had plugged in Michael Pineda. But Pineda was still on the IL, so I could swap him out. And so I did.
Well, you swapped out a pretty good start from him today.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Pineda could have a better outing for sure. And I just didn't want to miss out, you know. Didn't want to be completely missing out on this. Because I think he could go out there and just, I don't know, I think in Yankee Stadium against a Yankees team that's depleted, he could go out and have a pretty good outing.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think it's sneakily not like this gauntlet of a matchup for him. I mean, it's kind of a testament to what they think of him that they're up for having him debut against the Yankees, but especially for a right-handed pitcher, it's not really a gauntlet lineup. So my hopes are high. I think, you know, the only outcome that would suck is if he wasn't very good, but any other outcome, I could talk myself into it being the right thing. And I've got him going in our auto new league.
I wasn't able to get him in
the rest of my weekly lineup leagues, but
I'm expecting big things from him. I know, you know, the jump in competition looks great on paper, but we just had no way to gauge his progress over the last year or so. So I'm thinking he could be a stud. He looked great in spring training and he hasn't slowed down. So I'm thinking he, especially given the other options there, he should be here to stay and your top pitching prospect in all the majors. So again, we're talking about later in the show about your upcoming set of dynasty rankings updated. And we're talking mostly about guys who are already in the bigs, but where do you think a guy like Manoah should slot in here? Obviously in dynasty, you got to devalue him a little bit, but you thinking Manoah's like a top 150 dynasty asset, top 200?
Yeah, definitely top 150. My whole sort of process for doing these is I'm doing the big leaguers first in the top 400 dynasty rankings because there's just a larger sample there. We kind of have a better idea about what breakouts are legitimate and that kind of thing on the MLB side than on the MILB side. So I'm putting those together first. And then once those are done, basically later this afternoon, then I'll finish the prospect rankings update and then I'll slot in the top, I don't know, 100, 125 guys from the prospect rankings over to the actual dynasty ranks. So I'll be kind of ranking the big leaguers separate, the minor leaguers separate, and then sort of combining the list. So I you know, it's probably, you know, Manoah, I would think he would be a borderline top 20 prospect for me. I think he's probably around like 25th right now. And, you know, you're probably going to get the top 25 to 30 prospects inside the top 150 on the dynasty ranking. So if I had to guess, I would say Manoah will be maybe just outside the top 100 of the overall dynasty rankings.
Awesome, man. We look forward to that. Of course, you doing both. It's a big undertaking, and we all appreciate it. And this is going to be, I think, helpful, too, for those taking part in those second chance Memorial Day leagues, just kind of re-ranking the big league hitters right now and big league players and seeing how things have changed. We'll be talking about that. This podcast is sponsored by WinBet. I forgot to mention that at the very top of the show, but we appreciate their sponsorship. Also, James, I'm just now realizing I don't have a walk-up song at the ready. So I'm going to have to like scramble as we're doing this. It won't be too hard to come up with one. We will be drafting walk-up songs at the end of the show. I'm pretty happy with the playlist we've put together. Anything else you want to mention about Manoah before we move on?
No, I'm glad that so many of our listeners were able to get in on him while you could still get in. And just hoping for the best tonight. Hopefully everyone's just freaking out about him on Twitter all night and just showing GIF after GIF after GIF. And we can all just overreact like crazy to a great start tonight.
Yeah. I love our guy, Vlad Sedler, but I saw him saying he'd rather have Logan Gilbert rest of the way this season. I mean, Logan Gilbert's been a pretty big disappointment so far. Look, I was stashing him too. Stashing, there's a thin line between genius and madness when it comes to stashing season. And some, you know, I'm stashing Bobby Witt too, Stake League. So the Manoah stash, you know, there's good and bad with the stashes. And I just think, you know, a guy like Logan Gilbert, it doesn't look great. He did have a little bit of a step forward yesterday, but I think Manoah's going to really pay off. And I think we're going to open the wallet big time in the main event, no matter what, pretty much no matter what the result is today.
Yeah. I mean, Gilbert's got a better home park, obviously. And there's a pretty big gap, I would say, between the the home parks between those two, but
and probably the opponents. Yeah, I mean sure. The Angels are pretty brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Sure. Yeah. I guess you could give the edge to the opposition as well. But I mean, it's not that close to me. Like they're not going to be like right next to each other on my prospect rankings or anything. So if we're just talking about pitching talent, it's clearly Manoa for me, but there are some other factors that point in Gilbert's favor.
So let me just take a look at Manoa's upcoming schedule here, because obviously this is kind of a tough way to debut, but as we said, this is not the juggernaut Yankees team that we were used to seeing. Because they now head back to Toronto, right? So it's going to be at New York and then in Toronto against Miami.
So that's well, really nice. Vince Velasquez kept the Marlins off the board last night, much to my displeasure with Sandy on the mound. So I would have to imagine Manoa should be able to handle that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, nothing can really play more favorably than TD Ballpark did. So I know last year the park in Buffalo was pretty hitter friendly, but we'll see. I think, yeah, that versus Miami is not too daunting either. Then he's got to face the White Sox, which is kind of tough. But I think this guy's ready to just be let off the chain and eat. Like, I think he's just, I mean, it sounds corny and lame, but yeah. Like a bulldog mentality where when you watch him, he's getting after it, man.
Like two guys that I like really liked their skills coming into the year and just sort of stayed away because of those division and ballpark factors are John Means and Hyunjin Ryu, and they've both been awesome. So I think we can maybe overthink things a little bit. Like we should be looking at the talent first and then the other factors second in these cases.
Absolutely. I mentioned those second chance leagues. Are you doing any of those? I'm not, but
no.
Kind of the
I can barely handle my current leagues. So
yeah, plus I'm trying to win those. Yeah.
If I was just having.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The disaster season, I might do it, but I gotta protect some squads.
Yeah, that's my main focus. My Sundays are shot enough. Like, man, my entire Sunday is Fab. Thinking about Fab, it's bad. I also love it, and you get that immediate payoff when 9 o'clock Central hits in the NFBC. It's a great feeling. Let's get into get into previewing your dynasty ranking update coming soon to rotowire.com. First, let's go to a word from our sponsors.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
And I'll splice those into the audio file. James, looking at your dynasty ranks, previewing them, this is a rough draft, the ones we're looking at now, but I thought we'd go through, talk about some things. Ronald Acuna Jr., no surprise at number one, and Fernando Tatis Jr., number two, another one that's really no surprise, but I think the health of the shoulder, we're still kind of fresh after that, and it's still kind of fresh on our minds, but I think that's a justified ranking even with those concerns because he's producing even while playing through it. And I imagine they get this corrected surgically, probably in an off season, probably this coming one.
I mean, if Tatis had been healthy all season, I mean, I think his numbers would look even better than Acuna's, perhaps. But I mean, Acuna was an easy call at number one. But, you know, with these, it's always, I mean, these are so tough to do because we're all just sort of prisoners of the moment and everything like that. But it's, you know, when in doubt, you should kind of try to take as big of a step back as you can. And I mean, Tatis is just an amazing building block in dynasty.
And then Juan Soto, a little bit of a slower start for him, but I mean, a small sample and as rock solid as they come.
These are for OBP leagues too, I should say. These are, I mean, they can be used in any format and we'll have the up down arrows for the batting average and OBP and everything like that. And they're for 15-team leagues where each team starts 2 catchers, but just worth noting, especially with like Soto and Trout and Bellinger and guys like that, that it is OBP, not batting average.
And even with that in mind, Vladdy Jr. checking in at 4. It's been an unreal start, and I really don't want to hear about how everybody do it because nobody wanted to draft him. I don't mean nobody, but he's still, you know, I look back at some of the auction prices and it was totally affordable, and he's kind of becoming the guy we all thought he would be, but not everybody thought it'd be right away this year. So I think, you know, I think this is the first year of a year or of a chunk of time that we'll look back at and look at the baseball reference page and just see a big old Hall of Fame resume with this kind of being the first real year of that resume.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought his statistical production was going to mirror Albert Pujols's back when he was a prospect, and I thought he would hit the ground running and just kind of get on that trajectory right away as a rookie, and it didn't happen right away, and you know that's part of the game. But yeah, I mean, this is pretty crazy. I was looking at our earned auction calculator on the site, and I, for just 5x5 roto leagues with OBP, he is the far and away most valuable player to date if you're in an OBP league this year.
Yeah, he's amazing, man, and just an absolute stud. Still remember, you brought it up last week on Farm Friday, that like Dominican backfield home run derby showing, or just BP, I guess, when he was 14, 15. Just an unreal talent. And yeah, he didn't hit the ground running, but same with Mike Trout, who's fifth right behind you. And same with Jared Kelnick. He's not hitting the ground running either. So Major League Baseball is just incredibly difficult on both sides of the ball. So
would you have Vlad over Soto?
I don't think so. I think that's right.
Okay.
Because it's easy to say now, right now, maybe you would, but I mean, Soto's, the guy's just unreal, and we've seen him do what Vlad's doing right now, essentially, you know. But anyway, Trey Turner right behind Trout, then. I'd agree that Trout OBP still deserves to be there. Turner, it's kind of like just boring, but he just does it all. And it shouldn't be boring, but at this point, his consistency just kind of makes him boring. We don't really talk about him because he's just kind of flat, which is great. And Mookie Betts is kind of a little down right now, but he's still awesome. I still think he deserves it. My first real gripe here is Cody Bellinger, James. He is coming back. I saw he homered again on the rehab assignment. I just don't know if I have him in this elite grouping. I had a guy like Bichette, Otani, J-Ram. I don't know if I could do it. You still think Bellinger deserves to be in that group?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't really have any reservations putting him there. I mean, this is OBP. If it was batting average, I'd probably have Bichette ahead of Bellinger. But yeah, he's what, 2 years younger than 2 years younger than Otani, like 3 years younger than J-Ram. Obviously, this is a low point. This is a low point in his value, but I mean, he's a 25-year-old with a career 364 OBP. Always going to be playing in one of the best lineups in the game. And yeah, I didn't really have any trouble putting him there.
I hear you. I do like the player. I guess maybe because I watch MLB TV and I always see that highlight of him walking off the game in the NLCS and then hurting his shoulder. I just worry about him doing stupid stuff sometimes, but I mean, and the injuries piling up, but the shoulder, I hope he can come back from. Our own Jeff Stotts had some sage advice, really, because this was back even before he got hurt again, but he just was worried about him coming back. And I kind of wonder if maybe it'll take him a while to really hit his stride coming back. I know it's the lower leg now, but I still worry about the shoulder too. With Bellinger. But moving on here, and you're previewing your dynasty ranks. I mentioned Bichette, J-Ram, Bryce Harper. Harper now heard, and thanks, Joe Girardi. You know, that was so cool of you. Such a competitive advantage to lie to everybody. Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani, it's so crazy how things work out. I only have the one share with you in the main events. And it's so funny that when we drafted him, we're like, oh, if we just think of him as our SP3 and don't even think about him up and down between util and pitcher. And then we ended up having to start him week one at util. He hasn't budged since, and he's been our best hitter by a mile. So, I mean, I know he's like the runaway favorite for MVP right now and in the books, and I think he should be. He's unreal, and I think if this was a daily league, daily lineup moves, you could make a case he should be number one.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a really hard guy for me to rank because he actually, you know, I'm not sure what type of true talent OBP he's going to have, because you could, on the one hand, is like K rate, walk rate aren't great. You know, they're just not, especially given his age. On the other hand, I think he's just kind of missed so many reps with injuries, you know, in terms of reps at the plate and working as a two-way player, that you could argue that he'll improve his plate discipline metrics, you know, as the season goes on. You know, what you can't really deny is that he's got 80 grade game power, and he gets to it with such ease. Some of the balls he hits out, he's just got no business hitting out. And he's also got those wheels, and he likes putting those to use. I mean, he's been hurt a lot, but he doesn't play like a player who's worried about getting hurt again. Like, he kind of is always just playing 100% effort out there. And I mean, if he was not a pitcher, I would have him ranked even higher. I think that sort of adds an element of risk that he could maybe hurt himself pitching in a way that complicates things for him as a position player. But I mean, he's a really tough guy for me to rank. Like, I could see a case for having him in the top 10. I could see a case for having him outside the top 20. His dynasty value over the past like 3 years has just been all over the map. So, pretty volatile player as well.
Now, here's where things start to get real, real interesting, I'd say, because you got Ozzie Albies right behind Ohtani, Xander Bogaerts, who's just the ultimate just rock for your team, Corey Seager, Christian Yelich, Rafael Devers. Is this pretty fluid for you here? Because, I mean, I could, especially if you're trying to win now, maybe you bump Cole up. I know you got Cole down here at 22. I know when you do these, you like to put a focus on hitting, but did you think about bumping Cole up for those win now players?
Yeah. I mean, I think for like 20% of the managers in every dynasty league, Cole is a top 10 player. So like the teams that can win the league this year, like not just kind of can get into the money, but the teams that are legitimate contenders to win the league, Cole is a top 10 guy. But then any team that can't win the league this year, Cole's barely like a top 25 guy. So it's just kind of threading that needle of, I mean, that's why these the dynasty rankings are so much harder for me to do than the prospect rankings, because everyone understands like a prospect's a prospect, right? Like, you know, you can factor in like ETA and stuff like that, but there's just so many different motivations depending on how good your dynasty roster is, that a guy like Garrett Cole's right next to Eloy Jimenez. Obviously, if you're rebuilding, I think you'd rather have Jimenez. If you're contending, you would much, much rather have Garrett Cole. It's really tough. I tend to err on the side of kind of like, you know, what would a middle of the pack team kind of do? I mean, that's hard to do as well, but I mean, it's such a hard process, because just pitcher, like, you shouldn't be building around pitchers if you're 2 or 3 years away from winning your league. Like, you should be, if you have Garrett Cole right now and you're not contending, you should be trying to trade him. And you could probably get more for him than some of the hitters I have ranked ahead of him, especially if it's a really tight battle in your league and he could just be the deciding piece. But, you know, the hitters I have ahead of him, for the most part, maybe with the exception of like Christian Yelich and Aaron Judge, the hitters I have ahead of him are going to absolutely hold their value for longer than Garrett Cole will hold his value. Like, I don't think that's all that debatable. So, it's really hard. It's really hard in this range. You know, I could, and yes, to your question, it is extremely fluid there. From, it's even fluid, like the Ohtani part's fluid to me too. Like, basically from like 12 to 22, it it's extremely fluid.
Yeah, I have some important breaking news, by the way. Apparently, Josh Fuentes, he was slumping in April, so he cut his hair and changed his name. He's now Joshua Fuentes. So I was typing there for a minute and I was responding to a question as to whether we need to change his name in the database. I said, yeah, probably. I don't imagine Joshua Fuentes made your list here, but we'll continue making our way down. Sorry to interrupt there, James. But behind Gerrit Cole, you mentioned, you know, Luis Robert, Eloy. I mean, and then you get to Bieber. Bieber's been not quite himself so far this year, but I still think he's probably in that echelon. I got to say, I'm a little surprised you don't have Corbin Burnes over Bieber. But I think maybe that's probably the measured, more reasonable take right now. And Burnes has come back to earth a little bit, right? I only have him in one league, I think. But you still like Bieber over Burnes long term?
I mean, I think Burnes maybe has a higher ceiling. I don't think we should expect, like, it shouldn't just be a given assumption that Burnes is going to ever have a better year than Shane Bieber's best year. There's a lot to be said for proving that you can handle a starter's workload. Burnes, this is going to be his first real shot to do that. And by the next time I update these, if he's still kind of cruising and hasn't missed time with injuries, then I could see Burnes being the number two pitcher on the list for sure. I could be doing these rankings in the off season and like Burnes could be the number one pitcher for dynasty leagues. But I just think I want to see him hold up and, you know, he hasn't really had the opportunity to show that just yet.
Yeah, man. That's a good point. I mean, Bieber has cleared 200 before. It's 77 and a third last year. He's already got 65. The whip with him is just abnormally high right now. 126 for Bieber. This hasn't quite looked great, but I think, you know, that is such an underrated skill, being able to do it again and again and take the ball every fifth day throughout an entire year. It's tough. We have not seen it yet. Trent Grisham hurt right now, but in this mix, Jacob DeGrom down here. The injuries, you know, it hasn't really been anything bad, but just what a little thing here or there over the years. His age is starting to creep up. And then Woodruff, Giolito, definitely encouraged with how Giolito's been looking his past few outings. Then Kyle Tucker, pretty interesting. Kyle Tucker was off to a pretty brutal start this year, but you haven't lost much faith, it seems.
I mean, I've always kind of been lower on Kyle Tucker, so I think he's kind of exactly what I thought he was, basically. And just his age and
you thought ability. He was like a 235 guy? I mean, he's been pretty rocky.
I mean, obviously, I don't have him anywhere.
yeah,
but like,
I don't
but
like, think.
You know, I think he was getting overdrafted this year, but he's going to provide power. He's going to provide speed. He's really young. He's going to be hitting in a very high spot in that order for the next 4 or 5 years. So, not a perfect player by any stretch, but you know that's what you want to build around is hitters that are Tucker's age.
I think I would take Randy Arozarena over him, and maybe that's recency bias, but that recency is starting to build, you know? I mean, he's hot right now in that hot stretch in the postseason, obviously, but I think, I don't know, Kyle Tucker is stealing bags and hitting some homers. He's got 10 homers and 4 bags, but 235 – 304, 465. I almost think Randy Arozarena may be a better player than him.
Yeah, I mean, I would take Arozarena rest of season. I think there's probably like a 3-year age gap between those two.
That's a good question. Tucker's 24. Randy's probably, what, 25?
No, he's older than that.
Oh, right. he's 26.
So two years. I mean, that's definitely part of it. If they were the same age, I'd probably have Arozarena ahead as well. You know, you just, again, this is the challenge here of doing these at any point in the calendar, but especially less than 2 months into the season, like 2 weeks for either of these guys that are good or bad is going to shift the way you look at them. But, you know, I think that the fact that Tucker's 24, you're getting his entire prime. You're only going to get part of Arozarena's prime. You know, I think that's part of it.
The guy who's 24, like Tucker, Gleyber Torres, tough start for him, but you still have him pretty high here. I know these are a rough draft,
and we're this is a big OBP really helps Gleyber out.
Yeah, that's true.
If it was not OBP, like, and it OBP really helps Gleyber, and it really hurts Tim Anderson, who's right behind him. You know, Tim Anderson would maybe be 15 spots higher if we're just talking a batting average league, but he just doesn't really walk, and Gleyber maybe walks too much, and Tim Anderson doesn't walk enough.
I'm liking the Glaber's finally getting it going a little bit, but it's been pretty tough so far. Need to get him a good long stretch against the O's, you know. Gotta get him against the Orioles. Aaron Nola, Jack Flaherty, Trevor Story. We don't know what his future holds, but it's probably not in Colorado. Nolan Arenado has been great outside Colorado. Pete Alonso hurt right now, but I think that's about right for him. Austin Meadows struggling a little bit with the batting average, but still a nice player. Yordan Alvarez, my boy Nick Castellanos, love to see that. Sandy Alcantara, he's had a little bit of bad luck in terms of run support. Frankie Lindor, I think most people probably lower on him than 47, but this guy has got to figure it out, James. I mean, Frankie's been like a all-world type of player before. He's not this bad. I mean, 185, 294. I think he's obviously pushing a little bit and pressing. And there'll be a lot brighter days ahead. I think if you're doing a draft, he probably slips quite a bit further than 47. But I think that's probably where he belongs.
I'm kind of hedging with that ranking, right? Like, I mean, obviously he's not this bad, but I think I would probably be in the median here. I think you'd find people that would say that we're overreacting by even having him outside the top, like 35. But, you know, I don't know what the level, like, even if he bounces back, like, I don't think he's ever going to be like a top 20 pick again. So it's more just about, I just trust him to provide really steady production for the next 5-6 years, even though it might not be superstar production.
Yeah. And then Gavin Lux, well, Byron Buxton, Gavin Lux, Austin Riley. Riley's just been out of his mind lately, man. I got to say the swings for him have been pretty dramatic, but do you have Austin Riley? Is he kind of this year's Sandy for you? Do you have 100% Austin Riley exposure? Is it damn near 100%?
I wish it was 100%. Pulling that up right now.
I just know you're beating the drum for him.
Yeah, I have 54.5% Austin Riley exposure in NFBC. And then my top three for NFBC exposure are Yusei Kikuchi, Sandy, and Abisail Garcia.
Well, they can't all be gems, but I mean, Riley's been great. I know the BABIP's been really high and the K's are still higher than you'd like, but he's showing what he's capable of doing. And I love that quote from Ronald Acuna where he said, like, this guy's just scratching the surface or whatever he said. But,
I mean,
definitely an exciting time if you have him in Dynasty.
I love these guys in Dynasty where they're like 23, 24, and they've firmly established that they're going to be everyday players. You know, it, like, Austin Riley is probably never going to be even like a second round pick, even in his absolute prime. But like, he's going to be a top 100 pick, I think, for the next 7 years. So that type of staying power that gives you just such a big window to compete in Dynasty.
Yeah, absolutely. It's riding high right now. I think a lot of people would maybe suggest selling high on Austin Riley, but I think your rank here suggests, you know, probably going to be an anchor for your team, having him as a top 50 dynasty asset, right at 50.
Well, he'll be lower once I have the prospects, he'll be lower.
A little bit lower, yeah. I don't know. How many prospects do you think are inside the top 50, though? Maybe like 10, a handful?
Yeah, I would say five to 10, yeah.
Okay. So right behind Austin Riley, Ramon Laureano. I kind of wish his stolen base clip had remained what it was earlier in the year. He's kind of slowed down, but
I'm glad
happy with what he's done.
I'm glad it didn't, because I was just hating myself there for a couple weeks for not having more Laureano. So I'm glad that he's only going to steal like 25 bases instead of 40, which would have sucked.
Yeah. He still only got 8. I mean, 8 sounds great, but he had 8 like a month ago. He has not stolen a base. Ramon Laureano has not stolen a base in his last 37 games. So he stole 8 through April 13th. Come on, Ramon. Laser Ramon. That's one of the great nicknames in baseball, Laser Ramon. I hope he's not a little dinged up with his lower half or something, because that is a little strange to run wild like that and then just stop abruptly.
Was he just going against some terrible throwing catchers or something in those first three series?
He also has had a thumb injury, which they said was minor earlier in May. So maybe didn't want to like aggravate that or something. He also had a wrist issue, but yeah, that's so weird that he just stole 8, then just stopped suddenly. But I still think he's a 20 steal guy pretty easily by the end of the year, maybe 30. He's been caught twice in his last 37 games. But no successful steals for Ramon Laureano. Jazz, though, oh, God. I tweeted that I wanted, like, a live, like, CNN, like, live footage of him, like, touching down, coming back from rehab assignment. Because this guy is a superstar, and we got to hype up our big league superstars more. So I think he's a superstar, Jazz Chisel.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a pretty rough run since coming back from injury. Has still been, I mean, he's already got more steals than Laureano at 9 in just 30 games, so that's awesome. I mean, I could, if someone wanted to tell me like Jazz should be 20 spots higher, fine, 20 spots lower, fine. He's just, there's so much fluidity with his ranking right now. Like, when I do these, I'm gonna shoot to have these done the next update, like just before the trade deadline, and like he could be top 20 by then. He could be outside the top 75. It's tough to say with him, because that he did have that strikeout rate well under 30. Now it's up to 35. The walk rate's kind of been cut in half. So I feel like he might be trying to like make up for lost time or something. But yeah, I mean, I think when the dust settles, he's going to be a total stud.
Maybe I'm buying a little too much into the cool factor here, because he does have a 35% K rate. Maybe he's not a superstar player, but the tools are exciting, and he still has time to refine those plate skills. Only 23 years old. But yeah, maybe not a superstar player, but I want him to be a superstar, because he could be great for that Miami club. Chris Bryant, right behind him. He's had a big resurgent year. Andrew Vaughn, love that he finally opened. He pried Tony La Russa's eyes open, like in Clockwork Orange.
Oh, I thought you were going to reference when the Arizona State Patrol had to pry his eyes open in the middle of that intersection.
Oh, man. I was thinking of you've never seen – have you seen A Clockwork Orange?
Yeah.
They make him watch those horrible things.
Yeah.
That's what essentially had to happen for him to realize how good this guy was. But I do think he's probably solidified himself now. And he's been really heating up, Andrew Vaughn. Yon Mankata's been a little disappointing so far. Conforto hurt. Matt Olson next on the list. Dylan Carlson's been really good, especially for OBP. Is that a big part of having him here?
Well, I think he's hitting for a pretty high average, too.
Yeah, he is. I think he's getting on base like 380 clip or something.
Yeah, I mean, if he was doing more in terms of power and speed, he'd be higher.
Yeah, no stolen bases.
Right. Yeah, so it's – yeah, I think – Carlson was sort of always ranked high for me as a prospect, more for the floor than the ceiling. So, you know, I was certainly hoping he'd have more than zero steals at this point in the year. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm mostly kind of hoping that the homers start to pile up here, because I don't want him to finish the year with like a high batting average, high OBP, and like 16 homers and 4 steals. That'd be kind of disappointing, but really nice. I mean, at the plate, he's been kind of everything we hoped he'd be, if not more.
Yeah, that guy's only 22 years old. Yeah, the steals are definitely in question, because he only has one in his career in the big leagues in 81 games, Dylan Carlson. Sprint speed isn't great. 73rd percentile, according to Baseball Savant. Again, he's 22 years old, but I do wonder if maybe that's not going to be a big part of his game. And that pace you were mentioning, 16-4, that'd actually be – you say it's disappointing, but given the pace he's on right now, you may be lucky to end up with that, frankly. Obviously, he's going to end up hitting 285. That'd be great, but – 16-4, maybe a long shot at this point for Dylan Carlson. Let's move on, though, James. Clayton Kershaw, Will Smith, Anthony Rendon, Julio Urias has been fantastic. Ian Anderson, Pablo Lopez, JT Realmuto, Max Muncy, OBP, that seems about right. Joey Gallo gets that big OBP bump as well.
Well, Max Muncy's fourth on the player radar right now in OBP leagues, because
he's
got a 459 OBP.
Jeez, I know he was kind of heating up, but and it was hitting some bombs, but good grief, man.
Yeah.
I guess I got to take that L. You know, he famously was not written up for, I say famously, but just in my own head, because I, you know, kicked myself for it, but we didn't write him up for that one, for the magazine that year before he exploded with the Dodgers, because he'd been, I think, released from AAA Nashville or DFA'd or something. And the same kind of boat with Adolis Garcia. But I think Max Muncy, I mean, he's obviously done it for numerous years now, and just those plate skills are rock solid. So kind of amazing that the A's missed on this guy. Oh, by the way, I wanted to see where Adolis was on your rankings. 116. So
what do you think?
I was going to say a little too high maybe, but looking at some of the guys below him, well, you still have to add in the prospects too. So I think maybe when you do that, he'll be about where he should be. Mm-hmm. Hard guy for me to buy into, but maybe I just have that Max Muncy block where I just – there's so many teams passed on him, and I just have it where he can't be this good.
I thought you were more high on him than I was, so that's interesting.
Well, I did say that I'd take him over Nick Senzel on the show.
Wow.
But at the time, I thought that was kind of going on a limb. At the time, because I had paid up big for him in the SiriusXM Dynasty League. At least I paid like 414 out of 1,000. And I'd said that was a 15 team, but if I had Nick Senzel in like a 12 and Adelise was still out there. I know it doesn't look so bold now, James, but a month ago that was kind of bold. Nick Senzel down at 285. I don't know if I'd even have him top 300, but obviously he's hurt now, so easy for me to say. But he just – I don't know if it's ever going to click for Nick Senzel.
Well, there's a long history of it not clicking and not really any history of it clicking. So
that's so true. Luis Severino's kind of high up at 103. Just don't know. And Syndergaard, did you hear about him? Did they say that?
Yeah,
was,
I had Syndergaard about 20 spots higher than this, and I'm not sure exactly what to do with him right now because he obviously very disappointing news with his rehab start. And kind of, I know we're not having Jeff Stotts on this week, but that'd be the first thing I'd ask him is just like, you know, are we panicking? Is it like 10 out of 10 panic meter, or is this kind of something that can happen when a guy's working his way back from Tommy John? I don't really know what to do with those guys. Like, again, this is a very, very fluid point in the calendar for Severino, Syndergaard, Chris Sale, Zach Gallen. I bumped like Zach Plesac down like 15 spots to like 102. Like Dustin May, I kept inside, like, and this is all without adding in the prospects yet, but Dustin May is just inside my top 120 because I think if he comes all the way back from Tommy John, then I think he could establish himself pretty quickly as like a top 20 pitcher for dynasty leagues, but he's obviously going to miss most of next year with Dustin May. So he's a tough guy to rank too.
Yeah. Syndergaard left that low A St. Lucie start yesterday with right elbow soreness, which they say is precautionary, but, and I know there's even a new ownership there, but it's still the Mets. And I don't really look into or take precautionary at its, I don't take them at their word is what I'm trying to say. I definitely do not. By the way, I wanted to thank Marty for his kind words about the show. And he wanted to know if we're starting Manoa tonight. And we talked about him at the top of the show. Just wanted to, since he commented here, wanted to address Marty and just say, I am starting Manoa in head-to-head. That is a points league, though. I would start him in stake league if I could have that decision back.
I'm starting him in our 12-team auto new league with
with an innings
cap. So
that's right.
Part of why maybe I'm starting him there is just because I want to have one little piece of the action. Since the other leagues I have him in are weekly leagues and I didn't start him, so I might just be starting, like, if I had him a bunch of other places, maybe I wouldn't start him in auto new with the innings cap, but unless you're in like a really shallow roto league where you're really trying to protect everything, I think you start him. I mean, this is the whole point of rostering him in the first place.
Yeah, I think there's like 11 to 13K upside, I'd say. I mean, I think he's that good, and he's done that before and against big league hitters in spring games. So I think it could be a big one. You don't want to miss out if you have the opportunity to plug him in. You mentioned Plesac. I don't have any inside knowledge about this injury, but I have to feel this is a gaming injury. And we saw with – who was it on the A's? Jesus Luzardo had a gaming injury. And they say that Plesac just ripped his shirt off or took it off too aggressively. I imagine that was in celebration of like a Mario Kart win or something like this.
Yeah, I think this is something to be on the lookout for, is this uptick in gaming injuries that we're seeing among.
We are in an era of gaming injuries. It's kind of wild. Who was it? David Price, too. He's like an OG gamer. I remember he had like carpal tunnel or something. Man, it's tough. For some reason.
They're going to have to start writing this into these players' contracts that they're not allowed to game.
No, we're in the era of gaming injuries, and it's absolutely wild. I know that JRAM is a big – I've heard anyway that he's a big Mario Kart guy. So I just have it in my head that maybe Police Act somehow beat JRAM in Mario Kart, got excited, and tore his shirt off and hurt his thumb. But that is a brutal injury because I thought he was starting to really look good. And a couple starts before, I know his one right before he got hurt was not too good, but I thought he was starting to round into form. Joe Adell down at 114 looked so far away from putting it together last year, but he's been on at AAA, and I kind of was on Brandon Marsh, but I think Brandon Marsh was who I was on, but Joe Adell, I would think, has got to be getting close to a call-up.
I think there's only so long you can just go out there and homer in almost every game before they give him a taste, but
right,
I don't, you know, again, he's kind of hurt by this being an OBP set of rankings. If his strikeout rate was like 24%, I'd be pretty bullish on him in his next chance in the majors, but you know, I don't think that's what you want to see. And in fact, his strikeout rate's even higher than it was at AAA in 2019 before he got the call that year. And then he went on to strike out 42% of the time in the majors. So I think this is an okay window right now, I think, to cash Joe Adell out, but then I think there's going to be another window to buy pretty low after he gets back to the majors, because I think it's more likely than not that he struggles again.
Yeah, the strikeout and walk rates down at AAA really not impressive right now. 33.7% K rate, 7% walk rate, but yeah, 10 homers already through 22 games, or I'm sorry, through 18 games, age 22. 10 homers through 18 games, you also got a couple bags, 20 RBI, and you look at that team right now. Ugh, I mean, Jay up leading off, and then just a slew of just mediocre bats and washed up. It sounds mean to say, but just guys who have no real business being there. And if I know Perry Manassian was trying to throw some cold water on Joe Adell, saying he's making strides, but still not quite there. But I have to think they give him a look pretty soon, because this team could be so far down by the time Trout comes back.
I mean, it might not even be a front office decision, too. You know, like yeah. Artie Moreno might just look at the standings and be like, well, why the hell is that guy with 10 homers at AAA not up?
Yeah, you love a good owner who will step in like that. Throw down on the hair. We need more of that. But James, Dustin May down on the list. So many injuries in the game right now. Jake Cronenworth's been just fantastic. He's up at 125.
I wanted to ask you about the guy right ahead of him, Chris Taylor, who's on the main event squad. Chris Taylor's top 20 in earned auction dollars so far this year in OBP leagues, and he's 30 years old. He's a free agent after the year. I mean, where would you have him ranked for OBP? Because like I could see the case for having him even higher. I thought I was pretty bullish on him heading into the year, but I mean, he's been better than even I thought he'd be.
Yeah, he's a really tough guy, because my instinct at first is a little lower than he should be, than he is here. But that's maybe because, you know, where he was in draft season, I thought he was a value around like 200. But I just, you know, maybe he leaves the Dodgers. He's got to be over 30 now, right? He's what, 32? I think he's
30. He's 30 exactly, I think.
Oh, is he? Okay. Well, maybe he leaves the Dodgers and is just kind of again.
Would it even be bad if he left the Dodgers, though?
Maybe not. Maybe not. But they just have such a good – they just develop guys so well. And remember, he fizzled out with Seattle. And I just kind of have a little bit of a worry that maybe he'd leave and he'd just kind of be a guy. But, yeah, so far he's been just great and running too. He's already exceeded his stolen base total from last year. And, yeah, I mean, he could be a 20-25-10 guy pretty easily.
We kind of skimmed past him, but I did want to note that I've got Trevor Rogers right now at 73, right in front of Jesse Winker and right in front of Joe Musgrove and Kevin Gausman, and right in front of Luis Castillo. How does that run of like Darvish 71, Teoscar 72, on down through Key Brian Hayes at 80. How does that run strike you? Is that
I think it looks right? Pretty good. I mean, I think so. I maybe would like a guy like Springer, I'm kind of down on right now, but maybe I'd lower him below a lot in this group. But that all looks about right. I mean, DeWink, man, I'm buying into. I was wrong. I'm late to the party, let's say that. And I, as a Reds fan, I shouldn't be. I guess I have to turn in my Reds fan card because I fell asleep during the rain delay of Wade Miley's no-no. Then I didn't draft Jesse Winker on a single one of my 17 teams. But now I'm like back in, man. He just looks so locked in and just steady that maybe I'd bump him up a little bit. But I think that in terms of the ordering here, Rogers, Musgrove, Gausman, Castillo behind those guys, I'd say that's right. Castillo really, really hard right now. I mean, I think this is about right, but yeah, I could see 50 spots in either direction. A month from now, you're ranking him anywhere in that range. But dude, Winker and Rogers, I want to fully buy into. I didn't think he looked great the other night. I was watching him because the Reds were off. I think who was he facing the other night? Phillies, maybe.
Yeah, I think that was maybe his worst start of the year.
Yeah, I didn't think he looked that great. His command was a little off, but I mean, this guy's fantastic. And I mean, they have a lot of good arms there. But do you think Rogers is like a number two in the big leagues from now on? Like, is he a number two big league starter?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got Sandy and Pablo Lopez ahead of him. More so just based on track record. But I mean, I think on a lot of teams, he'd be the number two. It's so tough, man. Like his command is kind of the swing skill for him.
It's also kind of a meaningless label. It's kind of interesting. Like, because you were beating the drum, but I think a lot of people were like, looked at him as a number five when he could be just as good as really any of those arms.
Do you agree in having that group of Julio Urias, Ian Anderson, and Pablo Lopez up about 10 spots ahead of the Rogers, Musgrove, Gausman trio, or should those guys all be kind of right next to each other?
Good question. I'd say Urias kind of deserves to be up a little bit. Maybe not Anderson, although he's been really good. And I feel like Pablo Lopez, I only have him on like one team, but he is fantastic too. Maybe I'd bring down to the pack a little bit. Maybe I'm also just not appreciating him as much.
Would you have Urias even high? Like, who would you rather have in dynasty context? Neutral, Clayton Kershaw or Julio Urias?
I think Urias, personally. But it's close. I mean, Kershaw's still great. But Urias just looks, like, so steady. He's just always efficient. He just looks so polished for how old he is.
I've got injuries. The same reservations with him as I do Corbin Burns. Like, from a just a pure how has he looked so far standpoint.
True.
She should be higher, and maybe he should even be higher right now. Like, but I, and it does seem, I am encouraged that it does seem like the Dodgers are really going to push him this year from a workload standpoint, unless for some reason they have a plan of shutting him down or moving him to the bullpen later in the year. But if he stays on this current pace, he's going to blow past his career high in innings. It's just a matter of how effective do Corbin Burns and Julio Urias look when they're like 20, 30, 40 innings past their previous career high in the majors.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And Urias was in the bullpen down the stretch, and it wasn't even for sure that he was going to be in the bullpen to start this season, but he just kind of wrestled that job away. And I'm pretty high on him. But yeah, that is a definite question mark in terms of how well he can hold up. And if he's can still pitch at this level, when the innings start to add up, that's a good point. Tony Gonsolin, his rotation mate, you have at 141. I'm excited to get him back in a few of those draft and holds, and it looks like you have high hopes for him coming back, you know, in the rest of his career. You expect good things from Tony Gonsolin.
Yeah, I think I was kind of late to the party on Gonsolin, and the party hasn't even really happened because of that injury, but
last year was kind of the party, though, in a sense.
Sure. I mean, it's hard to say. I guess I was sort of not willing to accept that was all.
Didn't want to come to the party?
I declined the invitation to the party last year. but Eno's really talked me into him, and I think, you know, it's hard to bet against the Dodgers developing a guy, especially when the advanced metrics kind of back up that his stuff is that good. So I think, you know, it's always dicey to try to trade for an injured pitcher, but I think Gonsolin is a guy that I would be sniffing around on, especially if I was maybe not in full-on contention mode this year.
Yeah, I like that too, especially because he's been hurt and it might not kill you to, in terms of acquisition.
And you'll still have to pay for him, but I think that you might find his manager willing to kind of cash him out. It's kind of like a safe move rather than just hold firm at full price on him.
Aaron Civale, another young arm at 156, so a little lower, but he's been really good so far, getting a lot of wins, which has been great. And then Kenta Maeda, 162. I think, you know, dynasty ranks, he would have been a lot lower coming in. And then this ranking does reflects a lot of concern about him, which is warranted. I was on Maeda, you know, as a third, fourth, fifth rounder, and it's been a huge bust. Got to worry about the arm, too. I just don't know exactly what's wrong, but the breaking stuff hasn't been there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's – and then you look at age, you look at track record of innings with Maeda. I mean, last year was probably more so than any pitcher in the game. Last year's sprint was perfectly set up for Kenta Maeda, and this year it's been a different story. I also think, like, Blake Snell, I have at 161. I don't know what the hell to do with him because he's not a five-inning pitcher anymore. Like, I don't know what to make of that. Like, you're extremely fortunate if he goes deep enough to qualify for a win and pitches well enough to get the win. And so is that something that's going to change, like, at any point going forward? Is this just who he is? Like, I don't know what to do with Blake Snell either.
Yeah, really tough guy to figure out. We're kind of going long. We still have our hip-hop walk-up song draft to do. But anybody else you want to mention? Maybe we could get to a few of these guys another week. But and I know you'll be talking with Ian Khan next week. But anybody else you want to mention this week?
No, we can save it for, like – well, actually, really quick. So 127, 128, 129, I have John Means, Carlos Rodon, Freddie Peralta. What do you make of that trio?
And Means is a guy, another guy I just was dead wrong on. Rodon was completely hurt forever and then bet on himself. Good for him. I think I'd take Peralta, but actually I think I'd take Rodon, Peralta, Means, but that's a really tough one, man.
Maybe what this means is that Freddie Peralta is our next no-hitter.
Oh, yeah. That's
with those guys being right in a row.
That's a good point. you know, Means, I guess I just have to circle back to him and really dive in because I feel like I'm holding on to that past dislike of him as a fantasy option, you know, because of the division, and I just didn't think he had it in him to navigate that division as well as he has. But I guess I have to begrudgingly accept that John Means is just a lot better than I realized. But yeah, I still think he's probably in that bunch.
I mean, another thing to consider with Means is that, like, this is the worst his defense and run support's ever going to be.
It's true. He is 28, though. But, yeah.
I mean, that's still a great,
not old.
I love that. That's like a prime pitcher age for me. Like we've talked about this before. Like, and Brett Sayer mentions this a lot. I mean, like I think age is often way too overvalued in dynasty rankings for pitchers. And 28, you know, 28, 29, 30, like that's right when you're kind of entering your prime as a pitcher in most cases, at least for starters.
Yeah, that's a good thing to point out because I do kind of have it in my head that that's getting up there. But the aging curve for hitters and pitchers is quite a bit different now, I'd say.
Oh, actually, and to that point, the guy who honestly surprised me the most, maybe you can guess this, but so there's this pitcher in the NL East who's having an amazing year, who has been around a while. I think he's 30.
Eflin?
No.
Okay.
I had zero shares of, and I had no idea he was pitching this well because I just had no reason to be looking at it. But do you have any guesses on this? This was by far the most surprising. Like when I was checking up on everybody and when I got to this guy's page, I was just like, geez, what's wrong with me? Like, could have gotten in on this guy.
You said NL East?
Yeah.
Oh, Stroman?
Zach Wheeler.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Zach Wheeler's been great. Stroman's been really good too, but
this is a career.
I was not on Wheeler either. I was not on him either.
And he's basically fastball slider, and it's working for him.
Yeah, I didn't realize how good he'd been. 2.38 ERA, 0.94 WHIP.
Yeah. So that was a free like top 20 starter. I forget where he was going in drafts, but I mean you could get him as like your SP4. So I whiffed on that one.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in striking distance in a lot of my leagues, but then I look around, I'm like, how did I? I don't know. This game will humble you, but that's what's part of what's so great about it is, you know, we study for 6 months. And more than that, it's kind of just like a lifestyle. It just becomes your life. You still get some guys wrong. You overlook them, and you just try to turn over as many stones as you can. But, James, let's get to our walk-up song draft. I forget if I'm first or you're first this week.
I think you're first.
All right. Well, I mentioned that I didn't have a song, but I'm going to play this. I'm not going to play it so that we don't get, you know, bumped off YouTube or anything, but a song that I played for you and John McKechnie and our buddy Kevin O'Brien when we were doing the Stake League draft, Afu Ra. Have you heard of Afu Ra, James? Because he's an old school guy. I have to look up what the actual name of the song is here real quick, but it's Equality. So it's from the album Body of the Life Force, which has this weird, like, animated, it's kind of like a computer animated cover. Not animated, but this weird computer animation Picture
is
that's the only album I ever heard of from Afu Ra.
Is Andrew Redding going to be able to find this one?
Probably not. Low probability, but no, maybe, because
how do you spell it?
Afura. And the song is called Equality.
Yeah, it's on there. It's on there. Andrew's in luck.
Great song. Now, if I remember right, there's a little bit of talking at the beginning, which for a walk-up song isn't great. But if, you know, if ideally the person handling the walk-up music could just fast forward or have it start at the beginning of the actual song, because the beat's kind of iconic if you've heard of it. If you've heard it before. So give me Afu Ra, Equality. Great song.
All right. I'm going to go Jay-Z, Snoopy track, Timbaland beat.
Okay.
It's going to get me hype in the box.
Some Timbo?
Yeah. Juvenile on the hook.
Ooh, I didn't. Maybe I need to circle back to this song. I like it, James. Well, good stuff, man. I think this playlist is fleshing out pretty darn well. I'm happy with my choice this week, but I do need to come to that decision before we start the show in future weeks. But looking forward to talking again this Friday on Farm Friday, James. Anything else you want to mention?
No. This was good. I will just be ranking players for the next 4 days if anyone needs me.
Thanks for all the work you're putting in, man. I will play this outro. We are sponsored by WinBet, so we appreciate them. We'll talk to you soon on the RotoWire Prospect Podcast.
Try RotoWire today, free for 10 days. Get our premium tools, rankings, analysis, and breaking news alerts. No credit card required. Go to rotowire.com/try.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.